A reading from the book of Baruch. Integrity belongs to the Lord our God. To us, the look of shame we wear today. To us, the people of Judah and the citizens of Jerusalem, to our kings and princes, our priests, our prophets, as to our ancestors, because we have sinned in the sight of the Lord, have disobeyed him, and have not listened to the voice of the Lord our God, telling us to follow the commandments which the Lord had ordained for us, from the day when the Lord brought our ancestors out of the land of Egypt until today. We've been disobedient to the Lord our God. We've been disloyal, refusing to listen to his voice. And so the disasters and the curse which the Lord pronounced through his servant Moses, the day he brought our fathers out of Egypt to give us a land where milk and honey flow, have seized on us. Disasters we experience today. Despite all the words of those prophets whom he sent us, we've not listened to the voice of the Lord our God, but each following the dictates of his own evil heart, we've taken to serving alien gods and doing what is displeasing to the Lord our God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Alas for you, Chorazin! Alas for you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. And still it will not go as hard with Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment as with you. And as for you, Capernaum, did you want to be exalted high as heaven? You shall be thrown down to hell. Anyone who listens to you listens to me. Anyone who rejects you rejects me. And those who reject me reject the one who sent me." Does God punish us when we do wrong? That's the question. Today we get our first reading from the short book of Baruch, which says that God does. The writer of this book claims to be Baruch, who was Jeremiah's secretary around 600 years before Jesus, in those terrible days when Jerusalem was destroyed and the people taken off into exile in Babylon. But more likely it was written much later, quite close to Jesus' time. Anyway, this author puts heavy emphasis on the disasters that had come upon the people, and says that they'd come upon them because they'd not obeyed God. He writes that what they had done was out of step with what God wanted of them. All they could claim for themselves was the look of shame we bear. All goodness, what Baruch calls saving justice, is God's work. It is embarrassing and hard to accept that we often do not do the good that God wants us to do, that we refuse to listen to God's voice, whether coming from our conscience or the scriptures or other human advice. Does this seem too sweeping? We've only to look around and see what we've done to our planet, the mess we've made of it, by consuming more than we need, by wasting many resources, and by hoarding what we could share with others. We've torn down rainforests, we're still tearing them down. We've polluted the air, the rivers, the seas. We've brought the whole planet to the brink of destruction, and we allow our politicians still to waste vast amounts of money on weapons that kill thousands of our fellow human beings in war, while every day perhaps 30,000 children die for lack of good food. There's a danger that we might become depressed about all this, spend our lives burdened by the thinking that we're failures, suffering from a poor self-image. Some people do fall into this trap of depression. But strangely, our only hope is to admit our failures, but never to stay there, wallowing in it. Why? Because God, the infinite mystery, offers us the good news, these words you're hearing now. The one who made us, the infinite one, is on our side. God's longing for us to work in partnership with God's infinite power for good. And this God, Jesus tells us, is within us. What an amazing thing to find, that God actually loves each of us personally. Have you experienced this at certain times in your life? I find a deep contentment in knowing that I have felt this on many occasions. This must be close to being the central secret of a happy life. But Baruch, writing before Jesus' time, couldn't know this to the full extent that we can, who have, as it were, met and listened to Jesus. Baruch dwelt heavily on how God seems to punish us, seemed to want the enemies of the Jewish people to destroy their city and temple and drag them off as slaves to far-off Babylon. When we think like that, we have a very distorted image of God, because Jesus speaks quite differently about God. He gives us the good news that God is like the father of the prodigal son, who waited and longed for that son to come home, dirty and hungry, and ashamed of having wasted the family property, living a debauched life. Or, Jesus added, God is like the woman who searches eagerly for the smallest lost coin and then rejoices when she finds it. Yet today's gospel does seem to show Jesus coming close to cursing the three villages of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. But note, he does not say that God will punish them. He never says that about anyone. In fact, when asked explicitly about a man who was born blind, Jesus denied that being born blind had anything to do with punishment for anyone's sin. In the case of these three towns, whose people had not accepted what Jesus had to say about God's kingdom, perhaps he is simply pointing out how much they're going to lose through their coldness and self-centeredness. While they remain like that, as long as they remain like that, they will miss the whole point of life's meaning. When we do listen attentively to life, we find that it all comes from God and that it will all come together in God. But we too often miss this, and instead we depend on the stuff we think we own or cling to persons or things, no matter how beautiful, foolishly wanting time to stop for us so that we can keep them forever. What will bring us deeper into life is to give thanks to the one from whom it all comes. Then we can accept that all this is made not to last, that everything is a beautiful process of change, a setting in which we have many opportunities to learn how to love as much as we can. We're invited, in fact, to be co-creators of our world with God. This seems to be what Jesus means by his concluding words in today's gospel, that when we hear him, we hear the infinite God who sent him among us.